When discussing Bible matters and religious matters and moral matters with our friends and neighbors and co-workers, a lot of times when there is a disagreement over how an individual should act, a person will say, well, everyone has a right to his own belief. You might be talking with someone about their unscriptural marriage or the matter of adultery or fornication or homosexuality, abortion, other kinds of things like that. And when you're discussing that an individual should not live in a certain way, the response is, well, everyone has a right to his own belief. Friends, we want to talk about that this morning. We want to answer that question. Does everyone have a right to his own belief? Is that really true? Does it even make good common sense, let alone, and more importantly, does it match what the Bible teaches? Does it even make good common sense? Do we even practice what we preach when we say everyone has a right to his own belief? Do we even practice that ourselves? A lot of times when you're discussing church and religious matters, and you say that a person needs to live a certain way according to the scripture, a lot of times an individual is charged with religious bigotry or intolerance or hate speech. When discussing moral and religious differences, many respond by saying he has a right to his own belief. By right, they mean one is granted the privilege of determining what he will believe. But is that what God wants for us in our lives today, friends? We're glad that you've joined us on the program, and we hope that as we turn to God's Word, we can answer this question in the way that would be pleasing to God. Does everyone have a right to his own belief? Well, in one sense, the answer would be yes, if you're talking about in the eyes of man. One person's belief is just as good as another person's belief if we're just simply talking about what men and women think and feel. And often, legally, in this nation, a person has a right to do a certain thing that may be unlawful in God's Word, but man has passed a law contrary to God's Word, making it legal to do a certain thing, and so he has a right to believe and think and practice that. You have a right in this nation. It's legal to be a homosexual and have a homosexual marriage. It's legal to get an abortion. And so by law, you have a right to do that. By law, you have a right to abort your child. You have a right to marry someone of the same sex. And there are other things like that. Our U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights grant citizens many rights and freedoms that may or may not be authorized in God's Word. Amendment number 1 of our U.S. Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We have different rights, don't we? So we might answer yes to that question if we're talking about in the eyes of the law and legally, we might have a right to do a certain thing. For example, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You have a right in this nation to be a member of Wicca or some occult group. You have a right to worship the devil if you want to. You have a right to be in the church of Satan if you want to. But by God's word, you don't have that right. So it depends on what you're talking about, what standard, what set of laws. Are we talking about what man says or what God says? You have a right to say what you want in this country, freedom of speech. But you don't have that right in God's word. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. By our nation's law, you can say whatever you want. Even then, there is some contradiction because there are some things you're not allowed to say freely. You can't yell fire when there's no fire. You can't say things that would indicate you're hateful to the president and you're going to do something to get rid of him. You're not allowed to say those types of things without some sort of punishment. But for the most part, you can say whatever you want, but according to God's word, you can't. So does everyone have a right to say whatever he wants? Well, by law, man's law, you have freedom of speech, but God does not have that same freedom of speech. You have a right to have the freedom of the press. You can write whatever you want. But not according to God's law. And so, does everyone have a right to his own belief? Well, if we're talking about legally in this nation, you can do a lot of things. So, yes. But biblically, the answer is no. In the eyes of man, you may have a right to do a lot of things. But in the eyes of God, and according to his word, the answer is no. You and I do not have a right to our own belief. And that's what we want to spend the rest of our time on this morning. Biblically, we do not have a right to our own belief. Any freedoms or rights or beliefs that we have are to be controlled by a single standard of God's word. Jesus said of God, "Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. If we want a faith that is according to God, it has to come from God's word. The Bible, the New Testament in particular, the covenant that we are under today because of Christ shedding his blood on the cross and instituting a new covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, we're not under the old law, but we're under the new law, the New Testament. That single standard is what judges us. And we appreciate a single standard in other areas of our life. We should appreciate a single standard with regard to our morality and our relationship with God. We understand that there's a single standard when it comes to mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. And it's always been that way. And we don't have another standard somewhere else that says 2 + 2 = 6. And they're both correct answers. No, there's one standard in mathematics. There's one standard in measurements. We have a standard of weights and measurements in this country. We're not allowed to say different lengths all equal an inch. We're not allowed to say different weights all equal a pound. We have standards to say that there's just one way, one distance, one specific measurement equals an inch, not a bunch of them. And it's the same, friends, with our relationship with God. The New Testament is that one standard. Let me ask you this. Does everyone have a right to his own belief in math? If you want to believe that 2 + 2 = 6, that's just as valid as if you believe that 2 + 2 = 4. Does that work? How would that work at school if everyone had a right to his own belief on the math test? Well, obviously, we see that that doesn't work. And we would hope and expect the teacher to grade test properly. And if you get the wrong answer, you get the wrong answer. Otherwise, everyone would make 100 on every test because everyone has a right to his own belief as to what the answer is. See, it doesn't work in math, does it? It doesn't work in economics and money matters. Does everyone have a right to his own belief? Can you imagine the chaos our world would be in if we carried that out to its natural end? No, usually what people mean by that is when it comes to moral matters, they want to say everyone has a right to their own belief. But if we're talking about money and math and weights and measures and things like that, no, we all have to have the same belief. Well, if we have to have it in money and math and measurements and things like that, why don't we have to have that with regard to our morality? Because simply put, man wants to do what man wants to do. He wants to do what is right in his own eyes, and the way he has justified it is everyone has a right to his own belief. The fact is, whether we admit it or not, whether we recognize it or not, there's one standard that determines our right, and it's not our own beliefs. It's the standard of the New Testament gospel. There are some passages in the Old Testament that remind us that we are not to walk by our own, what is in our own eyes. In the book of Judges, the text says that everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21 verse 5. Everybody's living any way they want. And in that book of Judges, there's a story of a woman that gets raped, and there's a story of a man who has false idolatrous religion, and those are just two examples of just doing whatever is right in your own eyes. Those men that raped that woman, they were just doing what was right in their own eyes. Is it right to rape a woman? Well, if everybody has a right to his own belief, then the answer would be yes. But fortunately, in this country, one may not do that legally. There are still some good things in this country where man's law is matching up with God's law. And we will tell someone, no, you don't have a right to believe that and do that. We will tell man no, still some in this country, but we're slowly losing that. More and more, what a person wants, laws eventually are passed that allow him to do that. As our nation stops being a biblically based nation, then we will have more and more people doing what is right in their own eyes. Numbers 15, verse 39. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8. Do not do what is right in your own heart and in your own eyes. So biblically speaking, no, we do not have a right to our own belief. In the eyes of God, we do not have a right to our own belief. Why is that? Well, God is our creator, and we are his creature. God is all-knowing and all-powerful. When he was praised around his throne in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created. He's the creator of all things. He is unlimited. We are limited. Mankind is limited. Mankind does not always know the right way. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We need to use our minds and bodies to get up each day and do the things that we need to do. But we do not have the ability to govern ourselves morally. We need God to tell us that standard. Some people think that because we are enlightened and we are evolved, that we can come up with our own morality. But that is not the case. We've seen where that has been a disaster in the past. We can look at the current group of ISIS and how they treat other individuals. We could look at Nazi Germany and how they treated individuals. We are not enlightened and evolved. We are devolved, if anything. We are unlightened because we will not accept the light of the truth of God's word. And so look at how man treats others all around the world. Proverbs 14:25, we find that it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Verse 12, there is a way in which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think this is right. I feel that this is right, but that didn't make it so. God's word tells us if something is right or wrong. If we go by our feelings and what we think, then anything is allowable, and that's why we see the problems that we see in our nation today. I heard just recently of another school shooting up in Kentucky. Why? Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And that young person that takes the gun into the school, he felt that it was right to do that. We know that it wasn't, according to God's word and God's will. Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just repeating it again. Proverbs 20, verse 24. Proverbs 20, verse 24. A man's goings are of Jehovah. How then can man understand his way? We can understand the way to go when we follow God's word and God's will. Friends, not everyone has a right to their own belief when we're talking about a right relationship with God. And that's what I'm sure we all want this morning. Let's look at some examples in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, of individuals who did not have a right to their own belief, starting with the very first couple that ever lived, Adam and Eve. If you turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3, did they have a right to their own belief, believing that they can eat of that fruit that God said not to eat of? They didn't have a right to do that. In the previous chapter, in Genesis chapter 2, 15 and following, God told them not to eat of that fruit. They could eat of all the other fruit, but not of that fruit. They did not have that right. The devil came and suggested to them, no, you have that right. Go ahead and do that. If you eat it, you won't die. Even though God said you'll die, you won't die. He is appealing to this desire in us to do what we think and feel. And it worked. Eve took the fruit. She ate, gave it to her husband. He ate. And they were condemned. They sinned. That's how sin entered into the world, by doing what they thought they had a right to do. And who changed their mind on that? The devil. In the very next chapter, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, when God told Cain and Abel to come and bring a sacrifice to him, Abel did that by faith, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11. He listened to what God said. He brought that sacrifice that God wanted, but Cain didn't. And God had respect for one, but not the other. He had respect for the one that he authorized, and the one that he did not have respect for that. And so Cain was upset and angry. He ended up killing his brother Abel. When Cain brought that sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, I'm sure he thought he had a right to do that. But he didn't offer that up by faith as his brother did. Adam and Eve did not have a right to their own belief. Cain did not have a right to his own belief. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, when they offered up strange fire in the tabernacle, they're struck dead by God. And the text says that they offered up strange fire which God had not commanded them. They didn't have a right to do something other than what God commanded. Friends, these examples are to help us see that we must do what God wants us to do as it is outlined in His Word. We don't have a right to our own belief. Moses didn't have a right to his own belief when the children of Israel are wandering through the wilderness and they're thirsty and they want something to drink and they're crying out to Moses, "We need something to drink." And God says, "Speak to the rock and I will provide water for them." But he struck the rock. Did he have a right to his own belief? "Well, I believe that if I strike it, it'll be fine." No. Numbers chapter 20, 10 through 13. Moses is not allowed to go into the land of Canaan, all because he struck that rock. He was told to speak to it. He didn't have a right to his own belief. Even the great Moses, the great leader of the children of Israel out of Egypt, somebody might argue, "Well, look at the greatness of this man." It doesn't matter if you're Moses, the great lawgiver of Israel. You don't have a right to your own belief. Did Naaman, the captain of the host of the Syrian army, did he have a right to his own belief in 2 Kings 5, 10 through 12, when he had leprosy and he was told that if he would dip 7 times in the Jordan, he would be clean? And he didn't want to do that. He thought maybe other rivers would be better than that Jordan River. The ones up in his country, in Syria. Why go down to Israel or Judah and go down to that Jordan River? He didn't have a right to his own belief, and he remained a leper until he dipped 7 times in the Jordan. When he did that, he was immediately clean. He had to learn, I've got to do what God says to do. We come to the New Testament. We find the same type of thing. It's no different. We come to the New Testament. We find examples of the same type of thing when the gospel was preached. Sometimes people obeyed it and sometimes people disobeyed it. And when there were Jews who were disobedient, they didn't have a right just simply to be disobedient and then nothing happened. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, when Paul is preaching in Antioch. And he finishes preaching about the Old Testament history leading up to Jesus Christ and how that they must have remission of sins through Jesus Christ, Acts 13, 38 and 39. Some of them believed and obeyed that, and some of them did not. Look at Acts 13, 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. Well, did they have a right to their own belief? And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, seeing you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. If you don't want it, that's your business, but you're lost. You're unworthy of eternal life. You're lost. And we're going to go preach to others who want to hear it. Paul and Barnabas didn't say, well, I'm sorry y'all don't like the gospel, but after all, you have a right to your own belief. No, he said you're lost. Saul of Tarsus, before he was converted and became the Apostle Paul, did he have a right to his own belief? He's telling his story of his conversion in Acts chapter 26. Turn with me to verses 9 and 10. He talks about how that he used to persecute Christians. Did he have a right to his own belief? Was that okay? Acts 26, verse 9. Paul says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this also I did in Jerusalem. And I both shut up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. And punishing them often in all the synagogues, I strove to make them blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. And that's why he had come to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, that's where he saw the risen Lord. And he's told to go into Damascus. And there Ananias baptizes him into Christ. Did he have a right to his own belief in persecuting Christians? Well, of course not. And when he looks back on his life in writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was wrong for Paul to do that. And that's one thing that made him a sinner. He didn't have a right to his own belief in persecuting those Christians. The unrighteous do not have a right to their own belief. There are some people who will not believe the truth. They will not obey the truth. Well, do they have a right to do that? Well, legally in this country, you can believe or not believe anything you want. But with regard to God's word, we must believe the truth. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, "And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." If we do not believe the truth, we're going to be held accountable for that. Does everyone have a right to his own belief to teach error, to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God? Just teach whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. Everyone has a right to his own belief and teaching? No. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he talks about those in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. "Tarry in Ephesus, that you might charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine." In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul writes to these young preachers and talks with them about individuals who err from the truth and they teach error and they're leading others away. They don't have a right to be teaching those kinds of things. John writes something similar in 1 John chapter 4. He warns about those who have gone out and preach things that are contrary to the Word of God. He said, "Believe not every spirit," talking about teachers, "but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, don't they have a right to their own belief and teach whatever they want? Not according to God's Word, they don't. And the standard is in 2 John verse 9. The standard is we are not to go beyond the teaching of Christ. That's the standard. There's always a standard, isn't there? And so the false teachers have the standard of the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unrighteous in 2 Thessalonians, the standard is the truth. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 26 was the truth. Disobedient Jews preached to in Acts 13, the truth was the standard. And when we do not believe and obey the truth, then we're going to be held accountable for that. Does everyone have a right to his own belief? You know, it's interesting, those who say that, they don't even practice that often in their own lives. They're very inconsistent. They usually have some sort of an agenda, some sort of a doctrine or practice that they're trying to defend, and that's the best excuse that they can come up with. Often these individuals have no fixed standard to go by and live by themselves. They don't want to be limited by the standard of God's Word. And they soon must face the consequence of just complete anarchy, where people do whatever they want, and we're slowly moving in that direction in our nation. Everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes leads to a terrible situation, not a good situation. Friends, what we have a right to do is to obey God's word. Let's hear it and obey it. The gospel that saves, Romans 1:16. Let's be baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38. Let's live faithfully each day according to God's word, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Let's have a right to believe and obey what God wants us to. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and have a good day.